Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
It is always fun on a Friday to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and we are on location for the first time in many, many months, years, as we are coming to you from the Missouri Athletic Club, the MAC, and the MAC just had the Jack Buck Awards. We're going to talk about that, by the way, on the Sunday night show on Fox 2. Ben will be one of my guests, as well as Jim Powers, talking about the top five kids that are going to sign on Wednesday, next Wednesday, and then how Eli Drinkwitz and Brett Bielema have gotten into St. Louis and made some inroads. And then Jay Delsing, kind of review of what's happened in golf with the President's Cup coming to St. Louis. Also what happened with the Ascension Charity Classic. And interestingly enough, he believes that Tiger Woods is coming back, which is really interesting for a guy that knows him quite well. So, Ben, welcome back to the MAC. It's awesome to be able to do this in person and finally get back to, well, I don't know if it'll ever get back to a sense of normalcy, but it does feel a little bit normal being able to visit in person.
One of our first Friday chats, Dan, was right here.
Yeah.
And it's good to be back and do it in person. I always enjoy catching up, but it's just different when you can sit around and break bread and chop it up. So hopefully that will show through to the listeners. But good to see you, man, and good to be here.
It's great to be with you. One of the things the MAC is doing, and I do want to ask about this, and they've done it for so many years. I don't know if it's gotten enough attention that probably it should, but essentially they have the Heisman Award of college soccer. And I bring that up, and we've always talked about how St. Louis is the soccer capital of the United States. I think now more so than ever, when you look at MLS coming to town, the fact that Kevin Kalish is one game away from the Final Four playing on one of the worst fields, pitches,
oh my
if you
God.
Will.
Oh, it was that was
terrible.
Criminal.
It really was.
I think they need to ask Bob Blitz to file a lawsuit
against
Seattle.
Get him involved. But having that happen, and the MAC hosts the Herman Awards, which is the Heisman Trophy for the top soccer male and female player in NCAA ranks, it's really cool. I don't know if people have taken that in. It's coming up next month, and looking forward to doing that and being around it.
Home of the College Basketball Player of the Year Award.
That's another one, yeah.
Which is another marquee event for college basketball that's held right there in downtown St. Louis. So when you got guys like Zion Williamson coming through to pick up hardware, that's a cool thing for your city. But congrats big time to the SLU soccer team. And, you know, Coach Kalish, he could have gone on he could have got Stephen A. Smith style rant about that field, and who would have blamed him?
Yeah.
But he didn't. He said, look, you know, we were all playing on the same field and we had a great run, and my gosh, they did. Hired to get back into the NCAA tournament and to be one game away from
really
that
hired
Final
to
Four.
Just get it back to relevancy.
Right. And it needed to be relevant. They need to be in the mix. I mean, that's a proud program, and you saw the support. You know, they set records for attendance. Pretty impressive. And the cool thing about this, Dan, they're going to be good for years to come. There are guys on that team who are going to be back. There are depth guys who are going to take steps up and be bigger players than moving forward. And then you look at the recruiting. This is going to be a trend. It's not going to be a blip.
The thing I love, too, about it is that if you look at the kids that graduate from the Lou Fuse program, the Gallagher program, which really they are some of the best kids in the country playing Division I soccer all over the place. Now they say, do we go to SLU? I mean, is this the place I can have a chance to play in front of mom and dad, my friends, my family? And that's what makes this really cool. So I hope that that's what's opening the eyes of some of these kids that are coming out, and the feeder program for MLS, too.
There's going to be a chance, right, an invitation, an opportunity for a kid to be born in this city, to play in this city, to play college soccer in this city, then go on to play, I mean, the academy, and all the way up to making a major league debut right here. Now,
yes.
I don't know when it will happen, but that avenue is going to be there. You don't see that in other sports. You know, in baseball, you go to a minor league affiliate somewhere. You maybe go to college, maybe you don't, but you bounce around. There's a chance, I mean, hypothetically speaking, that a kid could go from being born to making his major league soccer debut in the coming years and never move out of his house.
Right.
Now, He would ideally want to not live with mom and dad probably at that point. But you get what I'm saying. That's pretty – it's pretty special. And you're seeing it kind of set up. But you're seeing the really impressive start for some of these academy teams that the MLS team is rolling out. You know, news this week that they've got their kind of their next stage ready to roll. The pyramid is going to be kind of built there from the bottom up, and it's going to be cool to see who will be that first player that is the true hometown product making the debut for St. Louis City SC. Pretty cool.
It is very cool, which now, to me, kind of closes the book on the NFL in St. Louis, at least in my lifetime.
Wait, the expansion team's not coming?
I don't think it's coming.
Oh, okay.
You've done a remarkable job, Randy Carricker of 101 ESPN as well, really diving in. And some of your colleagues at the Post, Joel Currier was one of those that was all over this with the various amendments, if you will, to what was happening along this remarkable, basically four-year trail to get to $790 million settlement. So now that the dust is settled, and I'm sure you've had so many people ask you questions, you're probably asking more questions. The dust is settled. In a general sense, what's your takeaway from what just took place?
I think the more it kind of sets in, the more it looks to me like it was a really good outcome for St. Louis. And it seems to me like the people who don't think that are maybe got misled, or they thought something was realistic of the as an outcome that wasn't really possible. But when you look, Dan, at the history of the NFL's settlements, this is one of the biggest ones they've had.
Is it the biggest?
It's not the biggest, but it's one
probably,
of the biggest.
Yeah.
The initial concussion settlement, I mean, think about the damage done there and just the goods that were had on the NFL and pursuing that. It was actually for less in the beginning. Now, it has since become more because a judge down the line said that's not enough, that's going to run out, and it's gotten bigger. But it's one of the biggest settlements the NFL has ever handed out on a topic that the NFL has fought and won on time and time and time again, which is relocation. You look at what played out in Oakland, where there was a very similar lawsuit to what happened here, except it wasn't as good. It wasn't as nailed down. It gets tossed out. They tried to go that federal antitrust route. It gets appealed, and all of a sudden now, this week, the appeal gets tossed. And it was called a, quote, Hail Mary of speculation. When you look at what was originally spent on the Dome, in addition to the $18 million out of pocket that was spent on trying to keep the team, this settlement, even after the lawyer's fees, brings back considerably more than those investments. It's hard for me to clarify that as anything but a win. For those who were fired up about an expansion team, I get it, but it was never realistic. There was never anyone involved in the process from the St. Louis side who felt like that was going to be offered or come to pass. And that speculation, I think, misled a lot of people.
Let me throw this at you, too, and take sports out of the equation, which is very hard for people to do, including myself. And if you would have said, okay, business X is going to locate in your city, you're going to have this investment in the Dome, it's going to generate millions of dollars for your city for the time that business X is here. And again, by no means am I saying this is a good thing. I mean, because the future 50-plus years that you might have from here on out could have been massive for the city, too. But if it was business X and then, you know, they decided to leave, and oh, by the way, when they left, you got $790 million, you'd have said, well, it was a nice run for, you know, a fourth of a century for that business in that town. That town made out pretty well. But it's not. It's sports. It's passion. It's community. It's all the things that go in it. It's the tentacles of when you have charitable endeavors that are connected to this. I mean, there's a ton that goes into it. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But black and white, kind of looking at it from those lenses, I guess I can swallow it. It's just, man, I miss the NFL. I do. I hate what happened when I went and spoke in front of the Board of Aldermen about my kid crying that day and had a Todd Gurley jersey and wondering, you know, why is this happening? And you don't have a really good, logical, reasonable answer for a young kid, and the experience of being able to take yourself, your family, your loved ones down there, whatever. All that is gone, and it's been taken away for no apparent reason. But $790 million is nothing to just go, well, it's only $790. That's a lot of money.
You cannot force a league.
Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
I totally get it. Yeah. And you can't put a price on Super Bowl memories.
That's right.
I mean, and there were it. Or Hall of Fame players being involved in the community. And, you know, and despite all of the bad things Stan Kroenke did and the sour taste he put in everyone's mouth, there are still those memories that he can't touch, that he can't taint. And I totally get that. And that's why I was so cautious to not talk about expansion team or relocated team as a serious possibility, because I never wanted to get people where they were going to get hurt. And if you'll just look at where those things were coming from, for the most part, they were from people who were either more on the league side of things and had a vested interest in getting some of the league's talking points out there, or they were people who weren't tied here, who are not going to be have that held over their head forever, that they brought that up and it didn't happen. They're going to move on to another story. And I'm not knocking anyone's coverage. It's just that when you know what it means, you don't trot it out there unless you know it's legitimate. And it was not legitimate. So that's kind of where I came to it. I thought when this started, Dan, when it first started, I thought, I don't know if this will work. But I thought if they can get the money back they tried to get, they spent, you know, playing what turned out to be a rigged game, then I thought it would be worth the fight. That's what it was about to me. It wasn't about getting another team back. It was about saying, you can't tell us these rules matter, then break them in front of our face, and then just say, well, too bad. And if you let people do that to you, they'll continue to do it. And it sets a precedent of letting yourself get bullied, letting yourself get taken advantage of, letting yourself get pushed around. And one of the things that St. Louis has to stop doing is letting that happen. Is letting, we're St. Louis. We don't deserve the NFL. Or, well, we're St. Louis. The NFL is too powerful to take on. No. Bob Blitz, you know, Jim Bennett, Ed Dowd, these guys said, the rule is the rule. And the law is the law. And we're gonna follow the law. We're not going to be irate. We're not going to be scorned lovers. We're not going to be bitter. We're going to say, this doesn't add up. And we're going to hold them accountable for it. And that's what they did, step by step by step, to the point that the league was like, man, they didn't want to go to trial and risk massive losses, even though they felt pretty good about clawing them back on appeal. And for folks who said, well, I wanted all that dirty laundry aired, I totally get it. But these lawyers did a great job, Dan, of airing it during the pretrial process. That's where we learned everything about Stan Kroenke registering the Rams as a California company in 2010.
It's ridiculous.
Kevin Demoff's adios mother bleepers letter.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Richardson calling out Eric Grubman for being biased in this process when he was supposed to be kind of the neutral arbiter of relocation. Everything, all the smoking guns were aired out. We all saw them. We can't make people who don't care care, and the trial wasn't going to make them care either.
Do you, let me ask you this. Do you know when the next owners' meetings are going to be?
I don't.
So the NFL has got to write a check by the end of this year. So
no, by Christmas.
Yeah, okay, so yeah essentially end
here,
of the year.
It's got to be here
so
by Christmas.
So next week or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
For $790 million.
Okay, and we're still not sure how that is going to be divvied up amongst the NFL owners for
Correct.
The 790. Well, okay, that's get your popcorn ready on that one. That should get really interesting.
I was told that when Stan Kroenke's lawyers left the arbitration or the mediation hearing that resulted in the settlement that excluded St. Louis from this, and now they can all fight it out who pays what, that they were both, you know, pleased that the settlement was done, but also bracing for the fight that comes next, which is Stan and Jerry Jones basically going potentially to war against the other owners to figure out who owes what of this $790 million. And for folks who say, well, it's no big deal to Stan, he's richer than God. He is richer than God, but here's the deal, Dan. He spent $6 billion on this stadium. These teams have legal fees that are in the millions of dollars. ESPN has reported that some of the team's legal fees in this case are eight figures. I mean,
wow.
This is not a small amount of money. In the legal fees, they're not included in the settlement. So it is something that he's not going to just take sitting down, and it could impact his standing with the league for years to come.
Have you ever done the numbers of what it would have been, maybe just off the top of your head here? So the proposed Riverfront Stadium was about $1.5 billion, roughly, something like that. And he was going to have to put in, what, $250 million
of
that?
Yeah, he was going to get a lot of public money.
Right. And so out of his pocket would have been $250 million. And he would have gotten $1.5 billion stadium. He stays in a top 25 TV market. He's still relevant. Now, on the flip side, you could say the value of his franchise does not go up. He's in the top five, I think, now of NFL franchises. So then he goes out to L.A. and is vastly over budget with what he projected, because that was going to be, do you remember the exact figure?
I think the initial numbers we saw in it were like four.
$4 billion.
And then it, but it's
like six to seven.
It's six now, at least six. Because
and now,
there was, it was like it was cursed. Remember, there was too close to the airport.
Oh yeah.
And then all like the monsoon rains filled up the construction holes with water.
You can't get in
there.
They
delay the opening of it. They have the Chargers as a tenant that's basically
$1
getting to play there for free, which has caused a whole nother round of frustration for him.
To do this has been, you know, you start doing the math, what, $7-8 billion? I mean, that's going to cut into your net worth.
It is, and I don't know that it's going to give him what he ultimately wants. He's not a star in L.A., and he won't be until the Rams win a Super Bowl. And maybe they can. Maybe this is their year. I don't know. But
it ain't their year.
L.A. is not lining up to cheer this team on. The only thing they're lining up for is to try to get into the convoluted parking system, and it takes hours upon hours to get into a game. So, you know, I don't know at the end of the day if – that's the question. There's like two questions you'd love to ask Stan Kroenke on a lie detector test. And what one, was it worth it?
Right.
And the other one is, that I would ask is, why are you this way? I mean, that's the big question. It's like, what happened to you that makes you make these decisions? Because, you know, I will never really understand that. And I've never really seen it explained. And I would guess that most of the people who know him well don't know. And maybe he doesn't even know. I do think that for our collective health, we have to do like a Stan Kroenke cleanse. Like we have to
just
like
move on.
This is really closing the door. The lawsuits are done. He lost them all except for the one about Rams Park, which he will get to the opportunity to buy for $1 after the lease expires, which would suck because there's some great things going on out there. And maybe
have you heard anything about that?
I'm not.
Yeah.
Maybe hopefully that doesn't end up being the case when it's said and done. But, you know, now that the beef has been settled for the most part, I think it's better for us to, and I say this as someone who very much is like, I have the Stan Kroenke dartboard up in my office. Okay. That's not a joke. Take it down, put it in the basement, put it into storage, because I don't think it's healthy for us to just keep obsessing over how much he's despised here. Let's bury it. Let's take this money and let's move on. And let's make sure, and please God, the politicians, the decision makers in charge of this money, do something with it.
Have you heard what they may do?
I don't. Do
and
something
how
with
will it,
it
be split?
I know. I don't know. Do something with it that people can be proud of as a region moving forward. They did not have, Dan, a pre-existing determination of who gets what if they want, which
do you see a fight coming with that?
That's what everybody should expect, right? But hopefully they can avoid that. We don't know when this conversation gets serious about who gets what, about how the money is spent. That's when these decision makers are going to have a real opportunity to prove people wrong,
right?
Because I think most people are expecting this to be a big cluster, and I hope they don't let it become one.
We've got the border war, if you will, tomorrow.
It's back.
Mizzou and KU, which is great.
I love it.
It's wonderful to have back. Now, I think if Bill Self wants to put 40 on Konzo, he could. They're pretty good. Mizzou is not. But generally, the statement of having the border war back is great.
It is a fantastic rivalry, one of the best in all college sports. I'm so glad that it's back. I'm glad the common sense prevailed. These are what you have to make college sports, and especially college basketball, relevant before conference season starts. You got to play big games. Now, it's unfortunate timing for Mizzou to relaunch this thing because they just look like a team that is – I don't even know where to start, Dan. They've got to get so much better if they're going to have a chance to have any optimism about this next season. You know, we knew this was going to be a new-look Mizzou basketball team. Konzo went out, refreshed the roster with transfers. So there was people who understood, knew there was going to be some time for this team needed to grow and kind of meld on the court. But right now it looks like a lot of guys who don't really have the ability to play at that level. And when you refresh a roster with transfers, they got to be able to hoop. He's done a good job with bringing in transfers who can immediately play. You know, Drew Smith, Cassius Robertson. But these guys, they're not quite there. So he needs to. I think he needs to start playing the young guys more because a lot of these guys are going to be back. And that's the thing, is they're not one and done guys. So there's a lot of angst right now when you lose to UMKC and Liberty. There's going to be a high level of angst. There's not a lot of support, not a lot of attendance. It's a bad situation right now in year five. And I say this as somebody who likes Konzo a ton. Thought he was the right guy for the job. but this team's going to have to find some magic somehow, some way, or there's going to be some hard conversations had after this year.
And then you have SLU, who's had back-to-back games with UAB.
Brutal losses.
In Belmont.
After I wrote a nice column about how they should go get poached by the Big East, I cursed them.
I'm going to get into that in just a moment. And they've got to bounce back. Now, you say UAB and you say Belmont, and I'm not trying to make excuses. You're up by double digits in both games at home. You got to win. Those are two teams that are predicted to win their conferences for people that don't know. They have Auburn still coming up. They've got Boston College. They've got Drake, who's predicted to win the Missouri Valley Conference. So they did try to load it up with upper echelon teams for maybe not a Power 5, but still very good conferences, especially basketball-wise. So those were two losses, though, that caught my attention that they should not have lost. Now, they don't have Javonte Perkins, and maybe this is where we're seeing it come to the forefront, but those are two games I think that you got to win.
Got to find a way to win them, especially when you're playing them at home. I mean, that last one is tough. They are, I think, in a spot where they're trying to find a guy who can go win a game.
Yeah,
Javonte's that guy.
Yep.
He was.
Go get a bucket.
And he's the walking bucket. You know, and you've watched enough college basketball. You call it. I love watching him play because he was such a fluid, easy, breezy player. And college basketball these days is clunky and physical, and it's very, you know, foul,
a lot of transfers,
very
a lot
foul
of guys
oriented.
Yes.
Javonte, man, he was like jazz in a hard rock scene. So that was fun to watch, but they got to find somebody else. I mean, Yuri Collins is putting all the blame on himself, and that's what you want your point guard to do, but it's not all on him. Everybody has to do more. Gibson Jimerson has to grow up fast. He's really become a more dynamic player, but he's got to do even more. They've got to find a guy who they know when they have that huddle late, when a lead is slipping away, this guy's going to stop the bleeding, and I don't think they have that guy right now.
So SLU has got O'Loughlin Center coming, Family Center coming, which will be state-of-the-art for all their sports, but they don't have football. So you're looking at, obviously, basketball, soccer, those kind of things. They've got a very good facility. I've been to most of the best facilities in the country. By the way, I think Mizzou's facility is like a NBA facility. I mean, it's fantastic what they have. So they have the facilities to win, to bring in kids, and to be upper echelon in basketball. So you had an article last Sunday with Chris May talking about SLU athletics kind of on the rise and the various things that go along with it. What do you think the next step is? And I'm not talking about winning games. I mean, that's obvious. You win games, and that's what it's all about. But what do you think is the next step for SLU athletics, and in particular basketball? Where do you think they need to be, or where do you think they need to go?
Well, we're in this realm now of once again, conference realignment and speculation. It's kind of weird. We went through the COVID phase with college sports where we heard a lot about restraint and, you know, being more fiscally aware and conscious, and that lasted about 2 weeks. And now there's coaches getting 10-year, $100 million deals who have 500 records, and you know, Oklahoma and Texas.
I thought COVID was supposed to stop.
Right. Oklahoma and Texas are joining the SEC, which set off a whole other round of expansion. So you really, you know, what do they tell you when you play high school football? Head on a swivel, right? And that's really what you have to be. If you're SLU, you have a good spot in the A-10. I think the A-10 hopefully just got stronger by adding Loyola. That's a good basketball league team. They need to stay competitive and relevant now that Porter Moser is gone. But that's a good pickup. Gets the A-10 in the Chicago market. So I don't think SLU has to feel like they have to do anything. But if the Big East comes calling, then they should try to be first in line. The Big East would make so much sense. SLU has spearheaded its program development around Travis Ford's basketball team. The facility upgrade that is coming has to move the needle with the Big East. The Big East has said, Val Ackerman has said, that they are considering expansion. They fit, right? They give them a city they don't have. There's a team that's intriguing. The past few seasons, Travis has won just about as many A-10 games as any other A-10 coach. The university aligns, the academics would match up with the teams in the Big East. So I think that if you're Chris May, you're not going to go out and campaign, but you are making sure the Big East knows about what you're doing. Dominated around basketball right now with that moving in the right direction. There's a good trajectory there. Your men's soccer team is one win away from getting back in the Final Four. Proud history there with multiple championships. The women's team wins the conference every dang year. The baseball team seems to be moving in the right direction.
They've been really good.
Their cross-country team.
Darren Hendrickson does a good job.
Their cross-country team just had its best season. So you've got a good package there if the Big East is looking to say, hey, why not us? Now, the question for the Big East, Dan, is going to be, do you go to 12 or do you go to 14? Because you're at 11 now. You can add one, or you could say, hey, just raid the A-10, go get Dayton, SLU, and VCU, and just be the basketball league. I mean, they're kind of already known as a really good basketball league, but go be a better one. And then you have more games. And then you have more games you can sell to TV. That's what it's about now, is we are seeing, you know this as well as anyone. What do people watch that they can't DVR or skip or read spoilers
live
about?
Live
sporting events. Yep. And if you're trying to go streaming, if you're trying to sell, you got to have live sporting events. You had three teams to your basketball league, that's a lot more games you can sell.
I'm going
to
finish with this, and we are, Mario Cristobal, right, from Oregon goes to Miami and got...
Nobody wants to stay at Oregon for more than like 2 years. Right. It's the weirdest thing. What's the deal?
What did he get, $90 million, Cristobal, to go back to Miami? He was a player there, but it was something like that.
I think about the poor guy he replaced, like, hey, you're not going to get Manny fired Diaz. unless we could get this other guy. Yeah, that makes you feel great.
But I want to ask you, though, about this. This one caught my attention this past week, and I don't want to ask you about the individual, but I'm going to give his case, okay? And I bet you know where I'm going with this. So you have – actually, there's two more questions because there's a couple St. Louis kids that are going to be in the Final Four of football I want to talk about, but and what it says about high school football in this area. But so name, image, likeness, okay? Kid goes to number one recruit, coming out of Texas, quarterback. He goes to Ohio State, took four snaps, made $3 million, and says...
Is that what it was, $3 million?
I think it was $3
million. Holy moly.
$3 million, something like that, whatever. It was millions.
Yeah.
But I think that's right. You need to look this up. I'm working
I know the kid. Yeah, I know.
By the way, I'm working on an article here for you. And so now he's like, okay, well, I'm in the transfer portal. And that's his wish. I don't think NCAA did that right and how they granted the transfer portal in the COVID years and everything, but that's neither here nor there. But now he's back in the transfer portal, and you say, if you're a school out there, you're like, hey, you come back home, come to the state of Texas, or player X. Let's just talk about player X. We haven't gotten really into this, deep into the weeds with this. At least I haven't. I'm sure you have, because you are a beat writer with college sports and follow it very, very closely, but where's this going with this? I mean, are we going to start seeing where, you know, some of the teams that are good but not great and maybe not a blue blood and can't offer what these guys are doing in name, image, and likeness are going to lose out on some of the kids that you think that you previously might be able to keep?
They're already losing out, though. I mean, they were losing out.
So that's my question.
They were losing out before this ever came around. And a lot of these guys...
So what's Luther Burden going to do when he goes to Mizzou?
In terms of on the field?
Name,
or
image, and likeness.
I would imagine he'll be appearing in a lot of different advertisements and endorsements. And, you know, that to me is the silver lining of this. If you are a Mizzou or in Illinois, you should, if you have...
Keep your local kids.
You should have a better offer to get Luther Burden than Oklahoma can come up with for him. And Oklahoma should have a better offer for the kid from Norman than Mizzou. Because there should be more people invested in keeping that kid around. No, so in that way, maybe you have more of a chance. But here's the deal. If Alabama decides it wants a player and it truly wants that player, it's going to be very hard for any school to beat that team, whether there's a name, image, likeness deal involved or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that the gap has gotten bigger. It's just being reinforced by this rule. Now, here's my advice. Think long and hard before you give a 17-year-old kid $1 million.
Right.
And, like, if you're going to...
Yeah, but if you're a business and he's going to, you know, move the needle for you and it works for a year,
well, then you better come up with a contract that says this is I'm going to pay you once per every 4 years.
Right.
I mean, I think that...
Can you do that?
Because this is so new,
right,
you can do whatever the hell you want.
Right.
I mean, there's no rules anymore. Because this is so new, I think there will be some screw-ups. This is clearly... one of them, you know, some guys got made look pretty bad. There will be some, this thing will find its water level. Now, the question will be, will it even have a chance to before things change again? I mean, everything we're seeing that's happening in college athletics is basically a backpedaling from the NCAA in order to admit that it's a flawed system while also trying not to collapse.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this thing is making so much money the college football playoff and the March Madness are making so much money that the NCAA is in a race to make late changes without losing everything. So I do think that when if the mountain's collapsing, then it might just be chaos until it ends, because there's really what is the end? I mean, at what point does the college football team, the players decide we're not going to go out and play in the college football playoff unless we're employees and we get not just name, image, likeness deals outside of the business of college sports, but actually get a paycheck from it could all come crashing down.
Yeah.
So name, image, likeness is like this,
National
Geographic, you see those whales with like the little sucker fish on them. Like, yeah. Name, image, and likeness is like a sucker fish on the whale of what's really happening in college athletics. And we're all like going nuts about the sucker fish. And I'm like, y'all, the whale is in some shallow water here.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing. This is all playing out on a very minor level. It's eventually the Mark Emmert is protecting a castle that's going to be stormed.
Yeah.
And that's,
I would
agree. That's the big story.
Final question would be, how cool is it to see you got a kid from Eureka High School just, I mean, they're like, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, man, right now at Michigan.
Old
and
school.
He's a big part of it. They're running back. And then you have a wideout at Alabama that is from Cardinal Ritter that is lighting it up. I mean, so it gives you an idea. And we just talked about Luther Burden. There's Arlen Harris's kid is going to Stanford.
Yeah.
You have a lot of kids going to some of the top programs in the country. The St. Mary's young man, I believe, is undecided, looking at Miami, Florida State, other places. But the bottom line is there's some high school talent, man, that's coming out of this city.
Kyren Williams at Notre Dame. I mean,
there you go.
Last year we were talking about him. Now it's Jameson Williams at Alabama, and you got Hassan Haskins at Michigan. I love their story because they very well could end up meeting in the college football playoff, and they've got such different paths. You've got Jameson Williams, who was the 4-star, highly touted prospect. He goes to Ohio State, doesn't really pop immediately, transfers, and all of a sudden, boom, he's the most impactful, fastest, most dynamic wide receiver in college football this season. Hassan Haskins, overlooked, had, I think, one Power 5 offer, pretty late into his senior year. It was from Purdue. Credit to Jim Harbaugh and his staff.
Yeah.
They're like, well, this guy's a diamond in the rough, and now look at him. He has set the single-season touchdown record at Michigan. He's been referred to by Harbaugh as their co-team MVP. The guy he shares that title with is a chance to win the Heisman as a defensive player. What a season that he's had, and he just killed Ohio State. I mean, that was the big bugaboo for Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't beat Ohio State, and Haskins houses 5 touchdowns against him this season. It is incredible to me the amount of talent that is pouring out of this area. It is crazy to me that Missouri is not playing a football game here in St. Louis every year. I think that's one thing you can do to try to strengthen
that
connection.
Play
a different team every year.
Go to the Dome and play.
They've got it. And, they're not exactly crushing it in home attendance at Faroe. So people could complain about that. And I love Kansas City, but, man, they're not putting out talent like St. Louis is. I think they need to get that game back here every year. I think it could help. And it's just, it blows your mind where you can turn on your TV every Saturday and look at a team. And if you start listening, you're going to hear so-and-so from St. Louis or so-and-so
yep.
from a high school around here. And it's not going to tail off anytime soon. There's good coaches. There's good, there's great programs, and there's so much pride. And that's what I love pointing out. And I'm glad it's getting some love. And I hope that if Michigan and if Alabama end up meeting in the college football national championship, there will be stories that point that out, because, for a city that got knocked for being anti-football, they're not caring, man. How can you say that when every single team, it seems like, that's relevant has somebody from this region playing in a prominent spot?
Hey, buddy, this is fun. Thanks for coming out to the MAC and doing this.
You bet, brother. Good to see you. Let's eat.
Let's eat here in a second. I do have to ask you.
Uh-oh.
What are you working on this weekend? You going to tip your cap here?
No.
Tip your hand. I always say tip your cap to me. I'm sneaking out of town for
a couple days. So,
good for you.
It'll be quiet. Baseball's not doing anything, so
no.
I'm not going to do anything either. No, we'll have.
Protest.
Yeah, I'm protesting. No, I'm gonna lay low this weekend, but we'll have a ton of coverage, man. We got the Blues' latest COVID crisis issues covered. We are covering the lockout in depth, and lots of Mizzou too, with the build up to the border war. Bragging rights is coming, and that Armed Forces Bowl is a tough assignment for the Tigers. So we'll have it all locked at STLtoday.com.
Awesome, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
You bet, Dan.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.